Tonight, as we come around the Word of God, Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you. We thank you for your Word, which is so precious to us and so clear to us. Lord, we ask that tonight we understand this very important area of repentance and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that this is an important area. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the topic of repentance and the gospel of Christ. And this is an area which I believe really has to be emphasised quite a lot, particularly in these modern times that we live in, because it seems as though there is very much an easy believism that has happened amongst many churches, which is you just say a prayer and come out to the front, and there's not really any change of the heart. Now, it's important to understand that when a person is born again, there is a change of the heart, because that person becomes a new creature in Christ. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, first of all. Well, the Bible says that we, as Christians, would continue to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those works, of course, we see in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, and that is the work of preaching. And we see what Jesus preached in here, in this particular section. And this is, we'll read start from verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, notice what he says there, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." So, can you see that repentance and believing the gospel go hand in hand? I pray that by the end of this, you see that. We should understand what repentance is. Repentance is turning away from wrong, turning away from sin, and turning to God and to his ways. So, you can see that a person who is truly repentant will not be yearning for the ways of the world or yearning for sinful things, but their heart will have been changed, will be changed, and they'll be directed towards the Lord as they believe, and something will happen on the inside of them as they receive Christ. But there has to be this understanding that sin in God's eyes is a horrible thing. Sin is darkness, sin is rebellion, sin is disobedience to the law of God. And it should not be taken lightly that when Jesus came preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news that God has a way for people to come into his kingdom, that people must repent and believe the gospel. They must repent of their sins, repent of going their own way, and believe the gospel, and in particular the gospel that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that to be fact. Have a look at Mark chapter 2, verse 17, and you can see here why Jesus came. Very clear statement here in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. It says here, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So here we see Jesus is targeting his call. He's targeting his call to sinners. Now, a sinner, by definition, is a servant of sin. Okay, the righteous, by definition, are servants of God, servants of righteousness. The scripture is clear on that. So Jesus came not to call the righteous, because if a person is truly righteous, they're in right standing with God. But he's come to call sinners to repentance. Do you think that still applies today? Is Jesus, through his body, still calling sinners to repentance? For sure. Absolutely. Is the gospel still relevant today? That Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. That he died for our sins. He became a curse for us. And was our substitute, our sacrifice. Indeed, that's the case. And as we receive him as our saviour, if we've done that, then we can be saved. We've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. We've confessed him. We believe that he's alive today, that he was raised from the dead. So the gospel is that Jesus is the way, he's the door, he's the entrance into the kingdom of God. No other way, no other truth, but his way, his truth. And he's come to call sinners to repentance, and that holds right to today for sinners to be called to repentance. And so preaching, the preaching of the gospel, must include this call for sinners to be repentant, to turn from their own ways and say, look, I have indeed gone my own way and I have offended a holy God, the holy God. I have offended him. My sins are as darkness, and I am dead in trespasses and sins. I'm dead. I'm separated from God, and I need you, Lord. I need the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If people don't realise that they are sinners, they can never come into the kingdom of God. Do you realise that? This is important to understand. If a person thinks, oh, I'm all right, I'll get to heaven by my good works, that's a tragic position, because they'll never get to a stage where they repent of their sins and believe the gospel. So it's important for us to see this. Look at Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. In Romans 6, 17 and 18, we see the past tense of what happens when we believe the gospel, that we were servants of sin. And you know, if we have a heart that is toward the Lord, then we will be wanting to do what God wants us to do in our lives. Now, those who are servants of sin, what was their heart leaning towards? It wasn't leaning towards serving God, was it? It wasn't leaning towards believing God, but it was leaning towards serving sin and doing your own thing and so on. If you look at Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, it makes it clear here. But God be thanked that ye, notice the past tense here, were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And that form of doctrine clearly was that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life, and that man has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That form of doctrine, the Bible talks about obeying the gospel. Okay, it's not talking about, obviously, through works getting your own salvation, because Jesus paid the price for that by his blood. But it's talking about that when you hear the gospel, you are repentant of sin and you believe the message, which is that sin in God's eyes is a great barrier and separates you from him, and the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that's very clear, and that you can be saved if you believe on him, if you receive him as your saviour. So here we see very clearly, and let me read that again, but God, in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, you were sinners, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So that word became tells us that there was a change that happened on the inside of you. So when you repented of sin and believed the gospel, received Christ as your Saviour, you were made free from sin. Sin no longer had the hold on you that it used to have. And you became, and there was a change that happened in you, you became the servants of righteousness. You became a servant of righteousness. So now that's your inclination, to serve righteousness, to serve God. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 2. And we'll start from verse 1 in Ephesians 2. I want to read the first 10 verses of Ephesians 2, because in this section it shows quite clearly that there has to be a change. And you know, that change starts when you believe and you say, well, I do need to repent of my sin. And when you were a sinner, a servant of sin, you had to come to that realization. You had to come to the realization that you were serving sin, that sin in God's eyes caused you to be separated from Him, dead from Him, and you needed to be born again. You needed to be changed on the inside. Ephesians 2, starting for verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who, notice the past tense there, were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time, what? Past, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So let me just pause there. You can see that at one stage in the past, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, you weren't walking God's ways. You were walking according to the course of this world. Okay? You were walking according to the course of this world, and there was a spirit, an evil spirit, that was working in you, and it was working in the children of disobedience. In other words, you had to say, I have been disobedient to God, and I need to come to God. I have been serving sin, and sin is disobedience, and I need to come to God. So I'll read verse 2 again. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, there's the word past again, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, what's that next word, next couple of words, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You are by nature a child of wrath. In other words, you had a sinful nature and you were deserving of the wrath of God because sin had not been dealt with in your life. So what's the solution to that? Repent of sin and believe the gospel. Repent of sin and believe the gospel. And your nature will be changed. You'll be changed to being a righteous person. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What were we walking in? Well, the Bible says in verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. What should we be walking in now, according to verse 10? Well, we should be walking in the good works that God wants us to do. We should be walking in that. So now God has changed us. Verse 10 says, We are his workmanship, so he's changed us. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, now we should be people that are doing good works because we are saved. We are righteous. The Bible talks about doing righteousness. And you can see here that as workmanship, the workmanship of God, a change has happened. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. So there had to be, right at the beginning of our Christian walk, there had to be a turning away from walking according to the course of this world and saying, I want to walk according to God's ways. And so you turn to the Lord. And that's what repentance is all about. And you believe the gospel, you receive Christ, and you go forward in him unto good works. And that's good news, isn't it? That's very good. That's very good, because now we're not held by the shackles of sin, because where there is sin, there is the curse. Now we are righteous people, and where there is righteousness, there is blessing. And that's a good thing, very good thing. So there is a change of direction for all who repent and believe the gospel. There's a change of direction. Look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember, we just read in Ephesians 2, verse 2, that we walked according to the course of this world. Well, now, as Christians, we should definitely not be walking according to the course of this world. And Romans 12, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, makes it very clear that we should not be walking according to the course of this world or the ways of this world. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what the way we should be living as Christians now. Now we know that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit. So what was born again when you were born again? Your spirit. But of course your soul and your body were not born again, and so your soul and your body have to go through a sanctification process. And that's what it's talking about in verse 1. You've got to present your body as a living sacrifice. And you've got to do that every day. You've got to say, my body is a living sacrifice to you. That's my reasonable service. And you also have to work on your mind. You have to say, well, I'm not going to be conformed to this world, because I'm no longer of the world. I'm of the kingdom of God now. And so you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you get that renewal by the washing of the water of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God tells us. You get washed by the water of the Word. Imagine if a person who says that they're a Christian stays away from the house of God. What's happening there? Well, they're missing out on the washing. They're missing out on the receiving of the Word. And that will have an effect on their minds. But God wants us to go through this renewing of our mind. So you can see that there is a change of direction when you're a Christian. You're no longer going along with and walking along the course of this world, but you're very clearly instructed and commanded to be not conformed to this world. And of course the world is made up of fallen mankind, people who are servants of sin, and there is a spiritual master that they have, which is called the God little g of this world, and that's Satan himself. They might not know that they're serving that master, but they indeed are. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And we've been talking about that if you repent of sin and believe the gospel, then there has to be a change on the inside of you. Over the years, I've met up with many, many people who have claimed to be Christians, but say they no longer go to church. And they don't display the change that you would expect in a Christian. In fact, a Christian should love the Lord, love the body of Christ, love the brethren, not want to be away from the brethren, not call churches full of hypocrites and all that type of stuff, but say, I want to be where the brethren are, and so on. And so looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a good one to know off by heart, this one, because it shows the change that's happened and that does happen when you repent, or when a person has repented and believes the gospel. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So old things are passed away. Obviously, if you've been walking according to the course of this world, that's passed away. Remember what we read in Ephesians 2, in times past, this is what you did. In times past, you were worldly. In times past, you obeyed the lusts of your flesh and so on. Now, you are instructed to go God's way. All things have become new. Well, obviously, it's new to present your body as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. It's new to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's new for you to be a person that desires to pray, that desires to get into the Word of God, that desires to be with in fellowship and so on. If we look at Romans 1, look at verses 15 to 18 here, we see very important verses about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Paul said about that. And of course, when the Word of God is preached, then there is power available through the Spirit of God for people who will believe, who make a decision. In Romans 1, starting from verse 15, it says, so as much as in me is, this is Paul speaking, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Christ, that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that's the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, we see here clearly that the just shall live by faith, and faith pleases God, we know that. And we saw that we received the gift of God in Ephesians 2. It talked about that it was by faith you were saved through the grace of God. And we know that now we have a new way of living. And that new way of living is living by faith. And the way of living by faith is you believe the Word of God, you say it is true, and you obey it and you do it. That's the way of faith. And you live by faith. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, are you? You're no longer dead. Have a look at Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. This is talking to unbelievers here. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to thee to repentance? Now, when you compare the filthy state of the world in sin and the wonderful, blessed, pure state of God and his kingdom, there is a stark comparison. The Bible compares it to the difference between light and darkness. Light and darkness. God's way is light. God's kingdom is light. We are, in fact, lights. And we dwell and walk in the light. And everything of the world, the Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's in a dark state. And this is why God doesn't want us to be conformed to that, because if you get attached to that, there is the curse. And so it's the goodness of God which will lead people to repentance. They will see how good God was and is, how good he was to send the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Even though we weren't deserving of it, he still died for us. Even when we were dead, separated from God, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he still sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, his goodness, his mercy. And what is in salvation, the great riches that he gives in salvation, all his wonderful blessings in salvation. We don't have time to go into it tonight. But all those wonderful blessings in salvation, surely that's wonderful goodness. And if a person truly understands that, they will repent of going their own way and going the way of sin, and they will turn to God because of his wonderful goodness and what he's done through the Lord Jesus Christ in that provision of salvation, that entry into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 2. And I want to go through a few verses in Acts just to show that repentance is a very big theme in the book of Acts. And so it's a very big theme that we should also be concentrating on, specifically with respect to believing the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 39, first of all. We'll look at this one. Acts 2, 36 to 39. We read here, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, this is important. Listen carefully to what this says. "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So what did Paul preach? He said, well, Jesus was crucified and now he's been made Lord and Christ. Well, the word Christ has in it Saviour and the one who saves his people. And we know here that when they heard that, something happened in their heart. They started to believe. They started to say, well, there's something that has to happen inside me. Something has to happen in my life. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Wouldn't you like people to come and say to you, "What shall I do?" Or, "What should I do? What should I do?" We should have an answer to that. If a person who isn't saved comes to you and asks, "What shall I do? What shall I do? I think I need the Lord. What shall I do?" Verse 36, "Then Peter said unto them," and this applies today, this applies for us today, it applies for all that aren't born again today. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now remember, the Lord Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. And they're not repenting just of sin. They're repenting of sin and turning to God. That's what repentance has in it. They turn away from sin and they turn to God. And this is important for us to see. And if they do that, they will then go forward and be baptized in water, and the obedience of the heart will cause them to go forward and be baptized in the Holy Ghost and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as well. Let's continue on. Have a look at Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. It says here, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So here we see once again, repent and be converted. The word converted shows that there has to be change on the inside of people. There has to be a change that your sins may be blotted out. If your sins are blotted out, you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, are you? You're now made alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You're alive unto God. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at chapter 11 of Acts chapter 11, verse 18. So turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 18. I wanted to show you tonight in Acts that repentance is a big part of what was preached. And notice what it says in Acts 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So you can see that repentance must precede a person being born again. It's no use a person being told, well, all you need to do is come up the front and say a prayer, and you're not sorry for your sins, you don't want to turn away from your sins, you just want to add Christ to your life, and that's it. No, there has to be a great change on the inside of people. There has to be a change on them. They have to say, I repent of my sin, I turn to God, I believe the gospel, I believe the truth, and I want the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there'll be a change. They will be repentant unto life, praise God, the life that's in Christ. Also have a look at Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Verse 30 says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. So we see here that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Does that apply now, today? Indeed. Does it apply to all men? Yes. Does it apply everywhere? Yes. To repent. And you can see that they're to turn to the one who was raised from the dead. Now, if a person repents, they will believe that Jesus Christ is alive today. They will believe the resurrection. They will believe that Jesus is alive, that he is the living Saviour. And look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we've looked at this one quite a number of times, but once again, this is a good one to keep in your heart, to remember. And Romans 10, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can see that a person who repents, they will believe the gospel and they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and they will believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that he's alive today, and they shall be saved. So it's in the heart. Remember, we saw in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they were pricked in their heart. In the heart, things start to happen. That's where the word goes in, isn't it? The word of God is planted, is put into men's hearts. And it's the way people respond to it that determines what's going to happen after that. Let's end with Acts chapter 20, verse 21. And I pray that you see tonight the great connection between repentance and the gospel of Christ. And in fact, if you get an opportunity, and indeed the Lord will give you opportunities to speak to people, you have to show them that their sin has to be dealt with, that they need to repent of their sin. They need to turn away from it and turn to God, who has life, and life more abundantly, as we know. Acts 20, verse 21. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we see there's repentance and believing, or faith, go hand in hand. And God will grant a person repentance. It's a gift that He will give to people. He'll grant people repentance if they are willing to hear, if they make that decision, I believe, I want to hear, I want to hear what the gospel is saying to me today. And I see my great need for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are people all around us who desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is repenting, is preparing us to understand these key things, to be able to preach and teach and explain these things to people. Every single one of us will be able to do this, because God is not going to just use one man to get this city of Geelong converted. He's going to use His body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the living God, mobilized, strong for God, walking by faith, made of people walking by faith, faithful to the Lord, who indeed have had a change in their heart, are truly born again and want to go God's ways. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You. We thank You, Lord, that by Your Spirit we have been converted. We have been changed. We've become servants of righteousness. I thank You, Lord, for everyone here. And I pray, Lord, that there be opportunities, doors of opportunities opened to every single one of us to be able to preach the gospel, to be able to even lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we see that it's not a hard thing, but that be something that You're leading us into more and more. And that by faith, we would receive that and would go forward in that. And Lord, we praise You. We praise You because we know that he that winneth souls is wise. And we want to be wise in You, Lord. And we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.